you for visiting HawkeyeDrive.com, your stop for Iowa football and men's basketball content. I'm Brendan Stiles, and welcome to our sixth edition of the Talking Hawks podcast. So glad you can join us again this week. Originally wasn't planning on doing a podcast this week, but, you know, I figured the reason why was, you know, Iowa having a bye week this week. But the more I thought about it, I decided, you know, it was worth it. It was worth it, and because there were some things that did go on this week that I do believe are worth talking about. We'll start with just the Hawkeyes' most recent game last Saturday. It was homecoming here in Iowa City, and Iowa really just manhandled Penn State. The final score was 24-3. You know, it was a game that the defense especially, it was just one-sided in that respect. The D-line especially did just an amazing job of shutting down Rob Bolden and the rest of that Penn State offense. Iowa got out to a 10-0 lead early. You had a Michael Meyer field goal, and then you had Ricky Stanzi hitting Darrell Johnson Koulianos for a 9-yard touchdown pass. It's the fourth touchdown reception of the season for DJK. And right away, Iowa was up 10-0. Stanzi would punch one in from a yard out later in the first half, made it 17-0. Penn State's only points of the game came on a Colin Wagner field goal, which took place right at the very end of the first half. That made the score 17-3 at halftime. Then the big moment in the game came early in the second half. In the third quarter, start of the third quarter, Penn State's opening possession. The Nittany Lions got all the way down to the Hawkeye one-yard line, faced a fourth and goal. Bolden ended up changing the play, and it was something where instead of just running up the middle, he ran to the outside. And the Iowa defense recognized it, and Christian Ballard was the one that made the tackle that caused him to be short of the goal line. And that moment, you could just tell that the life was sucked out of Penn State. And Iowa was in complete control the rest of the game, even though the Hawkeyes didn't really have to score any more points. They would late in the game when Sean Prater returned an interception 33 yards for a touchdown. But, I mean, from the moment that goal line stand happened, you just knew Iowa was going to be in control the rest of the evening, and that's exactly what happened. So with that win, Iowa's now 4-1 overall, 1-0 in the Big Ten. Heads to Ann Arbor next week after they get through the bye week this week. Heads up to the Big House to take on the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan, of course, is led by Denard Robinson, quarterback that's just putting up ridiculous numbers. And you could argue right now that he's probably the front runner for the Heisman Trophy this season, just based on his performance in Michigan's five games. Wolverines are 5-0. They have a big game at home this week against Michigan State, who's also 5-0 and ranked 17th in the country. The Spartans are coming off a win over Wisconsin up in East Lansing last week. So that's a big game in the Big House, and it'll be interesting to see if Michigan is indeed undefeated still when the Hawkeyes head up there, or if Michigan will be stinging from its first loss of the 2010 season. A couple of notes here. Adrian Claiborne was named the Defensive Player of the Week in the Big Ten. This is the second week in a row that Iowa players got in the honor. Last week it went to Mike Daniels. He was actually a co-recipient of the award along with Michigan State's Greg Jones. But Claiborne had 10 tackles against the Nittany Lions and recorded his first sack of the season. And, you know, he and the rest of the defensive line especially just really stood out in that game against the Nittany Lions. You could tell that this game was won in the trenches, and just the way that they play, the rest of the defense stemmed off of it. And it's going to be interesting to see how this Iowa defense stacks up against Michigan and against Denard Robinson next week. Additionally, on the defensive front, and this is much more somber news, Coach Ferentz on Wednesday told us in the media, and or told everybody for that matter, he went public with it on Wednesday for the first time. He announced that Norm Parker, defensive coordinator, had his right foot amputated. As you all know by now, Coach Parker was checked into the University of Iowa hospitals and clinics right before Iowa's game against Iowa State. He's been released. Ferentz said last week that Coach Parker's been released from the hospital now and seemed to be in good spirits earlier this week, especially after Iowa, you know, coming off a 24-3 win over Penn State. But Ferentz was saying that the procedure took place about a week and a half after the Iowa State game. So it was either right after that or right after Arizona. Regardless, this stemmed from Coach Parker's setback with diabetes, which you all know by now. It's been something that he's been dealing with for years. There's no definitive timetable as far as when Norm will be back with the team. But Ferentz kind of made it clear that when that day does come, that Norm Parker will remain the defensive coordinator of this team. It's not going to be something where he's forced into retirement or that they got somebody, you know, or his roles diminish and somebody else begins to slowly take over. It's one of those things where it's his defense. He's the guy in charge. And at least that's the plan for them going forward. Whether that actually happens remains to be seen. Knowing Coach Parker from the time that I've been on this beat, he definitely is a tough enough guy that you know if he can be back there with the team, he's going to be. And right now, you just got to assume it's only a matter of time before that happens. I know Ferentz was saying that he was hoping by this week that Coach Parker would be back with him and possibly with the team next week going to Ann Arbor, but again, it just remains to be seen. You certainly wish Coach Parker and his family nothing but the best, especially with him going through, you know, what I can only imagine is a very difficult procedure, and you know, not just, you know, physically but mentally as well. So definitely we offer our well wishes to him and to his family. We only have one guest this week on our podcast. Normally we've been doing two, but obviously with no opponent for the Hawkeyes this week, we're only going to have one, but it's a special one. It's a name that I know a lot of you are familiar with, especially if you grew up here in the state of Iowa and you listened to games on the radio as a kid. One and only Bob Brooks. He works for K-Memory Radio, KMRY Radio, up in Cedar Rapids. He's kind enough to join me this week for just a brief little interview, and we talked about where the Hawkeyes are right now, where they kind of need to go from here. So when we come back, I will have that played for you. And also, just a reminder, for those of you visiting the site, be sure to check out our pick'em. We are doing one this week, and you got until tomorrow to email me your picks. HawkeyeDrive@gmail.com is the address. All you got to do is submit your 10 winners this week. There's no Iowa game, so there's no tiebreaker, no score that you need to give. Just give me 10 winners with the games I provide. So with that, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I will play my interview from this week with the one and only Bob Brooks. So hang tight. Welcome back to our Talking Hawks podcast, exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. I'm Brendan Stiles, and I'm pleased to be joined this week by the one and only Bob Brooks. Bob, how are you?
Well, I'm only. Not one. No. But, well, we're at the kind of the halfway point, so we can talk about where the Hawks are positioned.
Now, this week, we got the chance to talk to Ken O'Keefe and Phil Parker. You asked Coach O'Keefe a question regarding Stanzi and just how he's gotten good. How would you assess the play that you've seen from Rick this season as opposed to, you know, seasons past when he first kind of came in?
Well, I first ran into Stanzi when he was the second and third string. And I thought then, just watching him play, that the way he conducted himself, I thought that he was going to be the quarterback of the future. And now he is the quarterback of now. This is his year and his team. And I think that when this season is over, you'll look back as Stanzi really stood out as one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Well, and when you say that, I guess my quick follow-up is, you know, given all the time that you spent around Iowa football, where would you place him in, you know, comparison to some of the others that have worn the uniform?
Well, he's a little different type than some. I think everybody in Hawkeye history of the last 25 years would compare any quarterback to Chuck Long. He isn't the gambler that we have had in the past. He can do things in a very orderly, efficient way. That's the way he operates. His balance between the run and the pass is well-nigh perfect. In the Orange Bowl game, I thought the most important play was not a pass on the offensive side, but was a run that he made for first down. When he gets out on the corner and makes those decisions as to run or pass, he does it just as well as anybody. And obviously, I'm a great fan of Stancy and his abilities, and people say, well, he can't do this, he can't, the long throw isn't it what it should be, but he is getting these days great protection, and he has time to make a decision, and as you heard Ken O'Keefe say, his decisions have mostly been right.
And another main weapon, if you will, or one of his main weapons on the offensive side of the ball is Darrell Johnson-Koulianos. He's 10 catches away from breaking Kevin Casper's career mark and 67 yards away from breaking Tim Dwight's career mark for receiving yards. The numbers aside, how would you place Darrell compared to, you know, some of the other wide receivers that you've gotten to see? Like, in what ways would you say he stands out?
Well, he stands out as he's a go-to guy. He, when things get tough, why, he is the man that Stancy will look for. He has, and he's shown it many, many times, excellent skills. He was sort of born to be a wide receiver. We have missed a lot of wonderful quotes from DJK simply because I don't think that Coach Ferentz likes to be called Captain Kirk a great deal, and he's substituting playing time for talking time. But on the press day to start the season, start the summer practice, he was out, and he said, I'm ready here to do amazing things. When the total story is made, he will have done amazing things. You'll see him play on Sunday, too.
Shifting over to the defensive side of the ball, when you consider the fact that the team has been without Norm Parker these last few weeks, considering the amputation that he just went through, does it almost amaze you in the sense that they're still ranked the number one defense statistically at this point in time and haven't really missed a beat?
No, not really, because the principles that Norm has put into effect have been carried out by the staff. And in listening to Phil Parker, it's been no big deal with him or with any of the other coaches to pick up what Norm has taught them and carry it on. That is the reason why Iowa football is as good as it is now and in the future, is because that those coaches have been here. They know what the drill is. They know it's successful, and that's what it is. They just carry it out and go on from there. It's really hasn't, as far as the coaches are concerned, hasn't made a ripple. And then you get LeVar Woods, who has grown up in the Norm Parker system and has seen everything you want to see in the National Football League, a wonderful guy and had a fine pro career. And he steps in because he knows the Iowa way and the Norm Parker way. And we go on from there. It's just like in substituting James Morris in as a linebacker. He knows the drill, and that's it.
couple more questions for you here. Obviously, Iowa's in its bye week right now and then travels to Ann Arbor to face Michigan next week. How do you see that matchup shaking out? Because I know, obviously, a lot of people talk about Denard Robinson and what he's done at quarterback, but it also looks like, you know, their defense struggling the way it is, Iowa has an opportunity to maybe put up some points.
I would think so. Michigan has half a football team. Just one half a football team. They have a wondrous offense, and they have no defense. And I got a kick out of Ken O'Keefe comparing Denard Robinson with Randall L., and that is right on. He is a triple threat type of quarterback of the modern day, but he can score. Michigan tries to, you would think they were trying to score like a basketball team, but they have to because they give up so many yards. We'll know a lot more about Robinson and Michigan's offense after the Michigan State game as to what the Spartans have been able to do with him defensively.
And then I'll get you out of here on this. With Iowa being 4-1 at the moment, how do you see the rest of the season shaping out these last seven games? What do you feel the Hawkeyes have to do to, you know, maybe put themselves in that position to, you know, be where they were a year ago, in a position to possibly win a Big Ten crown?
Well, they've got to run the table. That's about is the norm of the situation. And if they win at Ann Arbor, with what's ahead, Michigan State and Wisconsin at Kinnick, it is conceivable that that's the road that they can take. This bye time came at a perfect time, and I think that the future of the rest of this season is one that is very bright. I would be extremely shocked if Iowa did not make a top BCS game. Whether or not they can make the championship game or the Rose Bowl, well, that's what we're going to decide. But the opportunity and the personnel and the coaching is there. And if you get the crucial calls and crucial bounces to go at least a good percent your way, you're on your way.
Well, Bob, thank you very much for the time this week. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun. Great to be
all
with
right.
you.
Yep. Take care. We'll see you again next week. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our Talking Hawks podcast, exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. I'm Brendan Stiles. Again, I would like to thank Bob Brooks for coming on this week. Again, it's a pleasure to have him come on. Certainly is somebody that I've gotten to know over the past few years covering Iowa football and basketball. And, I mean, he's just a great guy, you know, not just as far as, you know, being around at those events, but just talking to in general, and I hope you all got a taste of why that is. Before I give you my picks for this week's pick 'em, just a reminder, you have until Friday at 5 p.m. to submit them. All you have to do is go to HawkeyeDrive.com, go to 24 Heisman Road, go down to pick 'em, click it. You'll see the list of 10 games. There is no Iowa game this week, so therefore, there will not be a tiebreaker. If there are any ties, then there's going to be multiple winners. And you also don't have to give any scores this week. Just give me your 10 winners for each game and get it into me at HawkeyeDrive@gmail.com by 5 p.m. Central Friday, and you are eligible to participate and win whatever prize we decide to give out. So without further ado, I'll give you my picks here. We'll start with the only 11 a.m. game I got on here. It's the number 20 Wisconsin Badgers hosting Minnesota. Battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. The Badgers, they're coming off their first loss of the season last week at Michigan State, are 4-1. Meanwhile, Minnesota, that's just a disaster what's going on up there with the Golden Gophers right now, coming off a heartbreaking 29-28 loss to Northwestern last week. You know, I think you would think that with this being a rivalry that Minnesota would stand some sort of chance, you know, and be one of those, well, anything goes sort of games. But coming off the loss that they had last week, I just don't know how they're going to rebound on the road in a place like Camp Randall and against a Wisconsin team that you know is going to be fired up after the way it lost to Michigan State last week. So I'm going to take the Badgers to win. Then the big one in the Big Ten at 2:30, and it's from the Big House. Go figure. Battle of 5-0 teams, number 17 Michigan State, number 18 Michigan. If you had asked my thoughts on this game, a month ago, I would have said Michigan State in a rout. Now, Michigan, to its credit, is 5-0. Denard Robinson is playing like a Heisman winner at this point in the season. I'm still not quite sold on Michigan. I think this is the week you're going to see just how good a team Michigan really is. It's one of those games that if the Wolverines were to lose at home to Michigan State, this could end up spiraling into a 7-5 type season. You know, maybe they still go to a bowl game now because they got off to such a good start, but I don't know. I think it's going to be a closer game than I would have thought as recently as a few weeks ago. And I definitely think that Michigan can put up points on Michigan State. But with that said, I just like the way the Spartans are playing right now. D'Antonio coming back again this week after missing the last two games, dealing with his the situation with his heart attack. I think the Spartans are going to respond positively from off of that. And it's going to show on Saturday. And I think Michigan State wins a third straight over Michigan in this rivalry and moves to 6-0. So I'm going to take the Spartans there. Number one, Alabama. Number 19, South Carolina. The Gamecocks are coming off a bye week, but before that, lost a really difficult game at Auburn 2 weeks back. Meanwhile, Alabama just destroyed Florida last week down in Tuscaloosa. I understand that Alabama's going through a gauntlet right now, but I'd like to know where everyone is saying that South Carolina is such a great team that can beat the Crimson Tide. Because if I recall last year, this is the game that Mark Ingram went off and pretty much won the Heisman Trophy on. I mean, if you put in the tape from this game alone, you saw why Mark Ingram won the Heisman. I expect more of the same, not just from him, but from Trent Richardson. And I just don't know how South Carolina is going to respond. I think the Crimson Tide take care of business on the road out in Columbia. Interesting game down at Jerry World in Arlington. You got the 11th-ranked Arkansas Razorbacks taking on the Texas A&M Aggies. This is an old-school Southwest Conference rivalry. The Aggies are coming off almost an inexplicable loss last week to Oklahoma State. They started the year 3-0, then went to Stillwater on a Thursday night. Looked good early. We're up 21-7 at halftime, and for whatever reason, they just let up big against Oklahoma State. Meanwhile, Arkansas has had a couple weeks to lick their wounds after that rough home loss to Alabama after starting 3-0. I think the Razorbacks are going to respond in this game well, especially after, you know, the extra week off. I think it's going to benefit Ryan Mallett here, and I'm going to take the Razorbacks to win the game. You got Oregon State traveling to number 9 Arizona. The Wildcats are 4-0 overall. Oregon State, meanwhile, 2-2. But those two losses are to TCU and Boise State. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. This is a game that, for me, in order for the Beavers to win this game, they got to get a running game going with Jaquizz Rodgers. If they can't do that, I think Nick Foles is going to have the same type of success that Andy Dalton had on this defense and that Kellen Moore had on this Oregon State defense. And I'm going to pick Arizona to win the game, especially with it being in Tucson, so I'll take the Wildcats. Number 10, Utah is 4-0, and they travel to Ames to take on 3-2 Iowa State. The Cyclones coming off a big win last week over Texas Tech. I'm going to pick the Utes, but there's a part of me that thinks that Iowa State can make this a very entertaining game for some reason. I don't know if it's because it's at Jack Trice Stadium or because the Cyclones are coming off a huge Big 12 victory last week. I don't know what it is, but there's something that tells me that Iowa State is going to make this a very, very interesting game. And, you know, I feel like if the Utes are going to win, which I think they will, but if they're going to win, they're going to have to earn it. So with that said, I like Utah, but I would not be surprised if this game came down to the final play. I think Iowa State can hang with them. Not a game that I'm really not enthused about, to tell you the truth, although I probably should be. You have number 12 LSU, 5-0 overall, 3-0 in the SEC, going to Gainesville to face the 14th-ranked Florida Gators. As I mentioned before, Florida is coming off an embarrassing 31-6 loss to Alabama last week, albeit to the number one team in the country. It's amazing to me that LSU's 5-0 right now. I think a lot of people have already said it, but I'll just add on. The way they won that game against Tennessee last week is just mind-boggling, and I don't see Florida letting anything like that happen, especially with this game in the swamp, and especially when you consider just how fired up this team is going to be after the beating it took from the Crimson Tide last week. I expect the Gators to come out swinging right from the get-go, and I really do not expect this to be a close game at all. I think Florida wins, and I think Florida wins big. Got number 8, Auburn, also 5-0, 2-0 in the SEC, traveling to Lexington to face the Kentucky Wildcats, who won their first three games but have since lost two straight in SEC play at Florida and then last week to Ole Miss. I think Auburn will win this game, obviously, especially with, you know, with Newton as a quarterback. But Kentucky's played pretty well against some of the better teams in the SEC. Haven't necessarily come out with victories, but Kentucky's always hung tight with them, especially when the Wildcats have had these games in Lexington. So I expect this to maybe be a closer game than some are going to, you know, project it to be. But I do think Auburn is going to go up there, take care of business, and come back with a 6-0 record. So I'll take the Tigers there. Now you got number 23, Florida State, number 13, Miami. Possibly a preview of the ACC championship game. This, you know, as recently as 5 years ago, was one of the premier rivalries in college football. Last year, it was an instant classic in Tallahassee. Ja'Cory Harris led the Hurricanes down the field. They got a touchdown to win 38-34 in the final minutes. To win that game at Doak Campbell Stadium. This year, it's down at Sun Life Stadium in Miami. I like the Hurricanes because this is their first home game in over a month. And after playing three straight games at Ohio State, at Pitt, and at Clemson, winning two of those three, really, that's pretty impressive. Florida State, you know, 4-1 overall. The one loss was a beating to Oklahoma. But, you know, so far the Seminoles have looked good in ACC play. That said, I like the Hurricanes at home. And then finally, we have USC and Stanford. The Cardinal dropped to number 16 in the rankings after losing big to Oregon last week. It was a game the Cardinal were out ahead 21-3 and were even winning at halftime, but for whatever reason in the second half, Oregon just took over that game and was able to win convincingly. Now Stanford's at home against USC. Cardinal have won two of the last three meetings with the Trojans. You know, 2007, you go back to that game, and what appeared at the time to be absolutely unthinkable was Stanford going into the Coliseum and winning. And last year, they just thumped USC down in L.A. I really don't think Jim Harbaugh and Lane Kiffin like each other. So from that perspective, it's an interesting game. I'm going to pick Stanford to win at home, bounce back, and I'm going to pick Stanford possibly to win by double digits like they did a year ago. You know, USC, especially coming off a home loss to Washington last week, I don't see how the Trojans are going to be able to rebound here. So I like the Cardinal at home. Again, we stress the pick 'em. Get it in by 5 p.m. tomorrow. You can sign up for a 3-day free trial here at HawkeyeDrive.com. We also offer monthly subscriptions at $9.99 a month or yearly subscriptions at $89.99 per year. Both payments are recurring. Both give you access to absolutely everything I have to offer on this site. So I thank you again for visiting, and I hope you enjoyed this week's edition of the Talking Hawks podcast. Again, I'd like to thank Bob Brooks for coming on, and we'll be back next week to preview the Hawkeyes game in the Big House against the Michigan Wolverines. I'm Brendan Stiles. Thanks for tuning in.